Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crown Talking Drum, and the views and opinions expressed on the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network are solely those of the hosts, guests, and callers. These views and opinions do not represent those of the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network, its management, hosts, or advertisers. Thank you for listening to Crown Talking Drum.
But good evening. This is Apostle Armstrong, and I want to welcome you to the 6:30 Keeping It Real, the Three Apostles. Keeping It Real. And today, we're going to keep it real by dealing with the wilderness experience. There's the two places that sticks out in my mind about a wilderness experience. One was the children of Israel, and whenever they were rescued from slavery, and God opened the door for them to cross the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness. And Jesus had a wilderness experience, and I won't take the time to read the Old Testament. In the book of Exodus is where you will find that one. And then Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, you find Jesus' experience in the wilderness, which is more compatible to what we go through. Now, today, it appears as if there will only be one apostle today, and that one apostle is I. Apostle Miller has told you her brother passed. They funeralized him, and they are in the process of cleaning up. Now, cleaning up, you can take that as a physical or emotional. Maybe the way I look at it might be a little different. And what one does is one called a repast, and then you have a gathering, and you just sort of sit around and deal with what that person meant to you. And Apostle McIntyre, I know she was on vacation. I wasn't sure if she had 2 weeks or 1 week. Try to reach her, and maybe she will call in a little later. Now, the wilderness. See, as I said in the book of Exodus, you'll find it there. You see, the children of Israel, what happened to them? They found themselves in the wilderness after, now this is important, after they was rescued from Pharaoh. By who? They were what? Rescued from Pharaoh by God at the Red Sea. Now those three things are very important. That gives us a perspective. What happened and what they went through whenever they were in the wilderness. And see, they were on their way where? To the promised land. And it appears as if God had to first test their loyalty, test their understanding as to who he was and what he was to them, not just some spiritual being out yonder someplace. Excuse me. My sinus is sort of messing up today. Now, let's just look at this in today's context in a time like this. Okay. Wilderness experience, can we agree that the wilderness experience is a place of testing? Testing. Prepared by God, not the devil, but prepared by God. Why? For our spiritual growth and development. Or some people want to say spiritual maturity. You look at what's going on now. This reminds me of a wilderness experience. I listen to what people say, and I'm just concerned as to the outcome. What are the outcome of all of this that's going on now? And if you want to say, the wilderness is full of wet, rugged, harsh places, think back at what they went through whenever they were in the wilderness, the children of Israel. They had harsh, very rugged and harsh places and harsh times when they were out there. They were hungry and they wanted food. And what do? They start comparing the type of food that God gave them to the food that they got back in Egypt. And they said that the food in Egypt tastes better because they had spices in it. Now, this thing down here was rugged and all of that was going on. And then you compare and contrast that to Satan attacked on Jesus when he was out in the wilderness. And you take another look at it, it was lonely. It was lonely. They were just out there. There's no account of them that being out there with anybody, either the Israelites or Jesus. Jesus was out there for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And what are we going through? The gas prices are high, the food is high. Let's just think about it as a wilderness experience. And let's go back to that prayer that we were given, we were taught when we were children. And it said that God, what's in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what is the image of the kingdom in heaven? God take care of everything. Everything was supplied by him. If you look, take a look at what is happening now, God will provide. The ones of us who believe and have faith, we come into a level of understanding that other people don't have. And when we look at it, what do we look at? What do we see? Do we see flesh and blood? Or do we see in terms of the spiritual realm? And as we continue this journey, what we see with the five senses, see and experience with the five senses, can be very traumatic. And think about what they went through. That was very traumatic for them. They're out there. Moses get them out there, and they are struggling with having food to eat, struggling, and concerned about what is happening. Why? And they compare their experience and their existence with what they were in Egypt, even though they were slaves and they had to build, make bricks without straw and do all of that. They still didn't see that as being as bad as where they are or where they were. Now, let us, whenever we look at what's happening now in this country that we're in and in the world, people are being blamed for the high gas prices and high food prices, and as if we have some control, and if we have control. And see, who is the Moses? Who's going to take our petition? Who's going to take our petition to the Creator? Who's going to sit down with God and work this through? That's what we are at this stage in this country where the man-made institutions, they cannot and will not provide or take care of us. We have to think about it. If the institutions that man-made can't, the president office can't, the Congress can't, and the Supreme Court can't, or they don't, or they won't, we have to, who are we going to turn to? As we look at, who did Jesus turn to? He turned to who? To the Word. And the Word says what? Now, I'm going to read part of the Matthew text. And as I read the Matthew text, I want you to listen. Listen to what is being said and listen to what took place. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, when we look around and can we determine who is leading us and who is testing us? And what did Jesus do? He said, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, what? He was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. What did he say? What did Jesus do? Jesus made it clear, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, how do we apply that to us? What is written? The word. And where does our faith come? Our faith comes from the word. So we are walking through the earth the same way that Jesus was walking through the earth. We have to begin to see ourselves in a different light. And once we start seeing ourselves in a different light, then our circumstances have become easier for us to deal with. Then we know who give us our daily bread. That prayer that we learned as a kid, give us this day our daily bread. Who gives it to us? We won't be all that concerned about how we're going to pay for groceries. We won't be all that concerned about how we're going to pay for gas. If we only back away and quit looking at things through the five senses, as we look at them through the five senses, we become depressed. We become anxious. And as a result of that, we have a problem even seeing the glory of God, seeing the bread that God had given, are accepting it. What did their children Israel say? Oh no, defeating them, fed them. But they said they would go when they were back in Egypt. They want to go back. What are we dealing with now? Here, God protected us and brought us through this pandemic. I mean, I'm just looking at it as a part of a wilderness experience. That was one of the wilderness that we went through. He brought us through it. And what did we do? Oh, we got to go back. We want to go back. We have yet to stop as a nation, as a people, and give God the praise and thanks for bringing us through. Yeah, there was people lost. Yes. We don't understand why. The scriptures also said we lean not on our understanding, but on our what? Word. And our faith comes from what? Word. Whose word? God's word, not man's word. Okay. And then, see, Satan hasn't stopped there. Then he told the devil, took him to the holy city, and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And then what did he say? If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. What did Jesus say? No. The devil then the devil said, well, it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will. Well, it is written. What did Jesus say? It is written. Here comes Satan, comes on the devil, whatever terminology you want to use to define him. He comes on and says, same thing as Jesus said. But he put in the front of his that, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hand, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now, here's Jesus. Jesus is cool, though. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, what do we do when we're in these rugged places? Do we stand on the word? What does the word say about it? We out there in the wilderness? Yes. I say that we're going through a wilderness experience now. The virus has mutated, what, 5 or 6 different times. And when we were shut down and we couldn't go out, we were what? Isolated. We were lonely. Loneliness, because you couldn't go out to the bar. You couldn't go to church. You couldn't, I'm not sitting here trying to make no comparison. The children couldn't go to school. They couldn't be with their friends. So they were lonely. This was a place of loneliness that one had to sit. And if one sat there and took a look at themselves and come to the reality that God is the one that's the provider. God is the one that keeps us. God is one for those, even the ones of us who caught the virus, that God is the one that healed us through his beloved son. Now, we have to think about all of this. Now, what that was another characteristic of wilderness experience, uncertainty. You are not clear as to what's going to happen tomorrow. You're not clear of what's going to happen in the next minute or the next second. And then we have to just deal with that. We go back to the word, faith. Faith. And faith comes by what? Hearing the word. Whose word? God's word. Excuse me. Now, what do we learn from all this as we go through? We went through this. What was the education that we got? Or what was the training? that we got, who provided it. Whenever we sit down and think about it, we were being prepared for the work of the kingdom of God that is in our midst. And what he did by taking, educating us and taking us through that, we, some of us who understood what was going on, when we came out, we saw how strong our faith was compared to, we now know that our faith is real. Our faith is true. It's true. Because we stood on the word, and the word is what got us through this pandemic. And just think about it. Think about it. Because we didn't know where we were going or how we were going to get there. When I say it that way, we might have not been able to understand and get the type of medication that we needed in order to be able to survive. The wilderness experience is what we're dealing with today, and as we deal with it, we are We are not dealing with conspiracy theory. We're talking about wilderness, the wilderness experience. What happened? What did you experience? What was the purpose of the wilderness experience? As you go through it, what did you learn from it? What do you think the purpose of it is? And as you go through it, you were isolated, you were lonely, you had harsh places that you had to deal with. Think about it. I just want us to really think about it. And then once we do that, we can come into an understanding of the impact and the purpose that God has for us to go through it. The purpose that he put his son through it, so his son could understand what it was like to be tested. He could understand the power and authority of the word, because he just used the word. It is written. And then verse 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And what did he say? He said, all this I will give you. He said, if you will bow down and worship me. Now, what does that sound like? That sounds like he was trying to take something similar to what Jesus already had access to and try to use the trickery and to get him to worship him. Because he's going to give you this. And that what this reminds me of is what happens with what we call I call them herbalists now, but growing up, you call them the root doctor or the witch doctor or whatever you want to call them. You made a covenant with them to so long as they provided whatever it was that you wanted. And most of the times it was negative. You wanted them to do something bad to someone, and as a result of that, you made a covenant relationship with them where you had the power and authority over them. If there was somebody that was creating problems for you, you didn't have to go to the root doctor or go to the herbalist or go to get somebody to do a spell on somebody. You had the power and authority over the demons, scorpions, serpents, and you had that authority. But you chose to go and give that to somebody else. Now, how did Jesus handle that? Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Now, this is interesting. Then the devil left him. An angel came and attended him. He passed the test. He passed the test. Now, what happened? Let's go back, look back over now to the Israelites. They failed the test. They failed badly. And as a result of them failing the test, they did not get to the promised land. They did not get the blessing. Here, Jesus passed the test. And here we can pass the test if we stand on the word. And the word comes as our faith comes from hearing the word. Now, the mic is open. It should be about, let's see, what time is it? 2:00 you don't just call into a program and you listen and you see what's happening, and then you make a decision as to whether the opening, you have an opening to introduce yourself or what. So the mic is open. Anybody have any comments? I just want to talk about your wilderness experience. The outcome of your wilderness experience.
Well, we definitely have been in a wilderness experience, definitely. I've felt that, but I still feel I'm wandering a little bit. I'm not quite sure that I'm out of the wilderness yet.
Mm-hmm. And the question is, if we go through wilderness experience, how well do we answer the test? You know, sometimes you have an essay test, okay? And you sit there and you write out your response. And sometimes that response, you get partial credit for it because you did not, it doesn't show that you have a full grasp of the situation. So I think some of us, we find ourselves in that situation now. And because of that, some of us still have to go through this. And I think that that's why we're going through the, what is this, the sixth mutation?
Probably, yeah, all the five or six mutations, right?
Yeah, we haven't learned from the previous one. And as a result of that, until we come into understanding and realize what it is that we have to do and do it, we're going to keep going through this. And it's not just USA, United States. It's the world.
Yeah, it is. It's the world.
We look at, maybe I was listening to a thing today that was talking about monkeypox, okay? And they were saying that in terms of Nigeria, it was the country that they named. And the fact that they were talking about watching, the question was, why should the West share their vaccine with them? Okay, and what the commentary said was that the reason that they don't have it is because the Western world had colonized them. And what they did, they took the best brain out of there, and they brought them over to Europe and other places. They didn't name it that, but whenever they leave that country and go to another place for education, people have a tendency not to go back because they feel that they're able to make more money in the country where they got their education from. But we have to think about this, and he was saying that the Western nations, they have a moral commitment to provide because of the way that they treated the people. And so,
okay, but I don't understand where did this monkeypox where did it begin? Where did it originate? I can't see it in any place that I've read where it says it originated.
Well, see, that's not important where it originated. We look at it as the way that it originated with the divine one. If we look at it in terms of the process,
oh, yeah,
if
we look at
God
it in terms
took,
of, okay, I can see that.
And see, my whole thing is whenever they say that it was being transmitted by same sex. And I looked at it again, not from flesh and blood. I look at it from a spiritual perspective as to what's happening now. And what do? We have men marrying men. And
but that's the same
happening.
Thing they said with the HIV virus. They said that was purely a gay disease, and it wasn't.
Well, it was a gay disease, and it was spread because you had people who were on the down low. You had people who were having sex with men, and then they were going to have sex with women. And that's how it got into the regular population. And, you know, and so, you know, that's the way they are saying that this is getting into the population. Because of what do you want to call it? There was this download thing that they talked about.
I remember that Elin Harris wrote quite a few books about the download syndrome, and
right,
that meant that men who were in the daytime supposed to be men at night were laying with other men. Okay, I understood
right.
that.
But we're not here today to deal with it from that perspective. We're here today to look at it as a part of a wilderness experience. And these are the type of things that came along, and we can just say it was because of man's behavior, man's disobedience. And that's what happened out there in the wilderness with the Israelites. They were disobedient. And as a result of that, they all wound up dying out there in the wilderness, out there in the desert. And they had Moses they went to Moses and complained, and Moses went to God on their behalf. And while Moses and God was having a conversation, they decided, hey, they wanted their own God. The God was evidently moving too slow, so they created a golden calf.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the golden calf was part of the religious, was one of the idols of the people around them. It wasn't something that they just came up with. Excuse me. The golden calf was a religious group of people who worshiped the golden calf.
The Hindus worshiped the, didn't they?
I'm not sure which group it was, but because I read that when I was in seminary, and we had a discussion about it. But it is the behavior that's creating these problems for us. When we look at what do we do? We decided that God wasn't moving fast enough, so we turned our back on God and went to man. And man said, okay, we're going to give you integration. But now if you sit back and you analyze that, who benefited from integration?
The white folks did.
The people. That's right. Absolutely right. And because of that, maybe we should have waited and allowed God to do it as opposed to looking to man. And then what do? We look to the Supreme Court, and they gave us affirmative action. And now what is the Supreme Court trying to do in the last, 10 years? They've been since the Reagan era, they've been trying to overturn affirmative action.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to overturn everything that has anything to do with helping black people.
That's right. And the thing about it is, when we sit back and look at it through the lens of a wilderness experience, what do we see? We see that those same people who did not feel like they should wait and allow God to do this, they wanted it now. Just like we. What do we say? We want it now. When do you want it?
Now.
And because of that, we wind up getting something that is not healthy for us. But when are we, the solution to that is what? Cry out to God, go to God, confess, repent, and God will heal the land. Well, let's go back to what did Jesus do? Jesus went to God. How did Jesus go to God? Through the Word. How can we go to God? Through the Word.
Through the Word.
Where does our faith come from? The Word. The Word. If we know what the Word says, then our faith grows. And I used to wonder why do Jewish communities, they say, by complete faith. And if they, by complete faith, it appears that their definition of faith is a little different from ours. Our definition of faith says hope. They hope. Whenever you look at them, they automatically think that it's theirs. That it's there. And where I am at this point in with faith, whenever I look at the scriptures and look at the people of faith, they weren't hoping for something to happen. Their faith said they had it. So we have to, words have power. Words have meaning. And we need to just sit with these words and see what they say and see what impact
what they
or influence
mean.
It has
mm-hmm.
on it. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the wilderness experiences you isolated, you're lonely. And if you're all of that, I know when I went through it, I turned and started reading the word. And if you didn't want to read it, you could go to Amazon and get an Amazon book, and you could listen to it. And I did that, and that's one of the things, if you want to say that entertained me, one of the things that brought me through the pandemic. And then whenever we would go out for a drive, what did I do? I looked to see the hand of God. The hand of God and the trees and all of that, they became more of, I had a greater, a deeper understanding and reference for them, because even though I had biology and was taught that the process that they, how they purify the air, I never really thought about it. And as I, excuse me, as I drove along, I saw all the trees. And what if the trees were not here? What would happen? I couldn't breathe.
We wouldn't have the oxygen.
That's right. So all of this was byproduct of the word, and that was part, the byproduct of what the experience, the pandemic, did for me. So it was, you can say it was negative, but it was positive. What God did, God took a negative and flipped it, and it became
positive.
And
made it a positive, right. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And it was left up to us, just like it was left up to them out there in that desert. All they had to do in the wilderness, all they had to do was to acknowledge that God was the one that was taking care of them. That it was God, not them. It was God that gave them the food. It was God that gave them the water. And if we think about what's happening in the world, and we just want to limit it to the United States or the geographical area that we are living in, and we see all kinds of situations and circumstances where people are being disobedient, where people are lying,
people are following
the lies.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get to that, when I saw that golden image of Donald J. Trump, that they presented to him, I think it was at CPAC. That was the first thing I said there, and my mind went straight to the wilderness,
right?
To
mm-hmm.
to the golden
that
calf.
That golden cow. That.
Right. Yeah. And I just looked at the people. I think it was either conservative group that he was at that they gave to him, and they were talking about how the evangelical Christians are following him. And I just sit there and smile. And what that affirms to me that unless there is a change in his heart, they're worshiping him. He's an idol, and he's enjoying every minute of it.
Every minute of it. Mm-hmm.
So,
but even
all
though
he
was an idol, hi, Dr. Apostle. Listen up. I hear what you're saying about being an idol, but what's going on is that these folks don't have nothing to believe in. That's why they turn into just the flesh. What does says the Lord? That's what I'm looking at.
That's right. It's just like they were out there in the wilderness.
And they have nothing to believe in.
That's right. And all God was trying to do was to show them who he was and who was doing this for them. But they couldn't understand that. All they had to do was cry out to him. And that's all we have to do now. And I look at these HBCUs. Now, I'm a graduate of an HBCU, okay? And most of my family, 99% of my cousins graduated from HBCUs, okay? Now, HBCUs were created to fulfill a need because of our ancestors' prayers. Now, if we just look at it that way, we couldn't go to the non-minority college. We couldn't even go to high school. So where I grew up, there was no public high school until 1957 or 56. People went to the ones, yes, it was called Lomberg Institute now.
Okay.
And it's closed. It was more of a private school, private black school.
Okay.
And
I had no idea
now,
when the schools became, you know, that way. I had no idea what the time frame. Because when I went to school, it was mixed already. From kindergarten,
it
was mixed.
That's because if you went to school in the north,
right?
That's why. In
right.
The south, it wasn't. My high school, the only way, getting off track here, but they was going to give the black high school $250,000 to upgrade it while they were building $1 million white high school.
Okay. $250,000 to upgrade while they building $1 million high school.
Mm. And what happened was the integration law came through, and that was the reason my cousin wound up graduating from the white high school. But when we look at how far that they have come, the HBCUs now are dependent and relying on man and not on the one that created them. And I was the director of a program in Baltimore City. Very, very, very successful program in dealing with violence. Okay? We were intervention working with young people. And the problem was the program was built around other people's resources. And whenever the foundation decided that was no longer their goal, their vision, then they cut the money off. The program was so successful until The city got, this was under the O'Malley, the city got this grant, $1 million grant, and they put the program under the health department. And it took away its effectiveness because we were in the community. Here in Charlotte, they have one right here, and theirs, they never developed a community component, and that was the component that made the one in Baltimore success. We were the only one that had that. And but see, if we give God, the Creator, if we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, God gives us the power to get wealth so that he can fulfill the covenant that he made with our ancestors. Now, how did he make the covenant? They prayed. They petitioned God. And God responded. And we are the ones that benefited from it. So, but we turn our back on God. And we go back to God. And I say that the part of the wilderness experience with the church being closed, he had to do that in terms of getting us to understand the benefits that we receive from the church, from being a part of the body of Christ. And as we sit and we reflect, what were we getting? Was it the truth? Or was it a wonderful message that felt made us feel good? It's like I used to, years and years and years ago, I go to church, I felt come out there feeling good. Nothing but an emotional high. Straight up emotional high. By Wednesday, I'm sitting up there, I must have did something wrong because God doesn't like me anymore. It was because I was on the emotional high. The music and everything, it appealed to my emotion, not to the spiritual side of me. And, you know, that meant I didn't have anything to get me through the week. And until I came into that understanding that it's the Word, God didn't leave me. And I was more in tune with that, the way that those songs made me feel. I felt
made
good
you feel
and all that.
Instead of the meaning of the words.
Right. And see, once you get into the wilderness, you don't have anything. What do you have? First thing you're gonna say, oh, God done left me. No, God didn't leave you. You don't have anything there in the first place. So, you know, as we go through this journey, the Word. What does the Word say about this situation? The Word says that we pray for our leaders. We pray for all people. Why? So that we can live a quiet, peaceful, godly, reverent life. And the prayer is, and if you're going on down, that's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, I think. And the latter verses says that God doesn't want anyone to not be saved. So, we are dealing with the salvation. If God tests and changes their heart, then what? They won't do those bad things that they were doing. But if we we go through it and pray like we were taught to pray. You pray for your enemies. You pray for them, but they don't tell you what to pray or how to pray
right.
for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not praying for them to keep doing what they're doing to you. You're praying that their heart be changed so that they will stop doing what they're doing to you. And as a result of that, everybody benefits. Because they receive salvation, and you receive relief. You're not stressed out behind them anymore. Well, it is a couple of minutes left, and the message, I trust that the message touched people and gave people some the guidance, helped people to come into some understanding, or basically just challenge you to sit and see what it is that you really believe and come into understanding of the role the word plays in your life. And I want to thank you, and shalom.
All right, shalom.
Shalom. Have a blessed day.
And same to you. Thank you for tuning in.
Yes, I love my HBCU, Barber Scotia College.
Good night.